Okay, let me start by recalling so the subject here in Al Infinity Algebra is first of all a Z-graded vector space over the complex numbers L, and then a sequence of operations UK. So mu k goes from the kth x to your power of L to well, to L, but it has the degree 2 minus k, so I'll write it like this. And then such that the a bunch of relations hold. These are the so-called L-infinity relations, so I wrote them down last time. I'm going to write them down again. So, so the first one is that d squared is equal to 0, where usually you write d for the first one, for mu 1, so that has degree 1, so that's just the differential. And then for all n greater than or equal to 2, we have the following. So there's a sign, and then so I'm going to draw this in terms of graphs. So this is a tree with n leaves. And on the vertex, I write mu. So if there's n inputs, then of course I mean mu n, but I'm not going to write that, just goes without saying. So a d of this guy, right, so that is the sum of all the things I get by putting in d on each of the edges. Right, that's so, yeah, and that is equal to a sum over all trees of valence n, so that means there's n inputs, n leaves. So if I write this t, that means there's n leaves. There's only one edge in these trees, and all vertices have valence at least 2, and they're labeled trees. Right, so just like this is also, well, this would be an example with only one, with no internal edge. These are one internal edge. Internal edge is what I meant to say here. So there's a certain sign, and then there's one internal edge, and so there's going to be a whole bunch of inputs here and some more inputs here, so I'm just going to indicate this like by this kind of symbol here. And then there's a mu here and a mu there. So to explain a little more detail, I mean, last time I had written this in terms of unshuffles, so to recall that, that would be the sum of L equals 2 to N minus 1. Sigma in these unshuffles, the sign so I pick out the L of the numbers from 1 to N, put them in their natural order, and then I have some more of them, so the rest of them, sigma L plus 1 to sigma N here. And so here's mu L, at that vertex, and at this vertex is mu, whatever it is, so n minus l plus an extra input from that extra. Okay, so the sign I said last time, you can achieve this permutation, of course, by a bunch of transpositions, and each time you transpose, you obtain a minus sign, and you also get another minus sign if what you commute is odd, and otherwise you don't. Okay, so that's in more detail, this thing in trees. So, I think of two trees equal if they're equal, I mean isomorphic, as trees with labeled vertices. So even though when I draw them, I embed them in the plane, I don't use planar trees. Right, that's a difference to A-infinity algebras. You can do those things with A-infinity algebras, and then you'd have to use planar trees or ribbon graphs, in other words, where, yeah, those are just different. So I just wanted to point that out. So these are the relations. So just just the first few examples, as we call them. For n equals 2, there aren't any trees of this kind here. If I want the balance to be at least 2, I would need at least 3 leaves on this tree. So the right-hand side is empty. So what I get here is that d of this guy here, there's only one such tree, is 0. Right? So that means that 1, 2, d, well, so I'm just going to write plus signs because I don't want to keep track of the signs. I mean, there's signs everywhere. I'm going to ignore them today. Right. So as I said, d of this kind of thing means put the d on each of the edges there, and then that combination gives you 0. Right. So this is the fact that d is a derivation with respect to mu 2, which often we just write as a bracket. And n equals 3, so there we have d of, there's only one tree, there's only one tree here, so this is this tree here, and that's, but over here there are three trees, namely, I can have the 3 by itself, the 2, and the 1 by itself, and then the other 2 up here. So 2, 1, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Let me just remark, I'm not sure I said this last time, that this n equals 2 condition here implies that the bracket passes to H. So when I write H of L, that's the cohomology of L with respect to this D. Right, this is well known. If D is a derivation with respect to the product passes to cohomology. And N equals 3 is induced bracket on H of L satisfies the Jacobi identity. This expression here vanishes on cohomology because if I put the D here, I get a boundary, and if I put the D in here, it vanishes because I'm plugging in cycles. So this expression is 0 on cohomology, and that expression is the Jacobi identity. So um, Okay, so this part is obvious just from these axioms, but the cohomology is more. The cohomology is again an L infinity algebra, which is isomorphic as L infinity algebras to the one we started with, and that's the main theorem that I already wrote down last time, but sort of indicated the proof, but I want to go over the proof in detail today. So it's a so-called transfer theorem. So this is part one. So eta is of degree minus one, so L goes to eta here. And satisfies two conditions. Eta squared is zero, and eta d eta is equal to eta. And then I introduce pi, which is 1 minus the commutator of d and eta. So this is a projection operator. And so I'll define m to be the image of this projection operator. So that's m is a subspace of L. And so iota is the embedding of m in L, and p is the projection induced by pi. So it's it's basically pi. Draw a picture of the situation here. So here's L. So here's L with its boundary operator D, and here's the embedding iota and the projection P. And I can get an induced map here by first doing iota, then D, and then P. Can make this this induced projection there, and p d iota p d iota is equal to p d pi d iota. p iota is pi by definition. Pi commutes with d by the definition, and so this is zero. One you can also check by similar arguments that both iota and p are morphisms of complexes. And of course, by definition, P composed with iota is the identity on M. Now, what about the composition of iota and P? So first P and then iota. Here's D. Well, by this very definition, I mean, we have the identity map and this pi map, and by definition, we have that this eta here. So d eta plus eta d is equal to 1 minus pi, so that eta is a homotopy. So actually, this means that this is homotopic via eta. So this eta makes these two complexes homotopy equivalent to each other. And so via this homotopy equivalence, we're going to transfer the L infinity structure from L onto M. So this I need. I'm going to define the new K on M. Well, I already did it last time, but I have to review this. So, new 1 is just, well, I can draw a tree if I want to. Well, I've already written it over there. It's just the differential on M, so it's iota d. And that's the first of the L infinity relations is also already true. Okay, so then for N greater than or equal to 2, new N is a sum of all trees, so I never really said these trees are always rooted. I mean, so all trees, the only thing I don't require anymore is that they only have one internal edge, but I allow any number of internal edges. So T equals N, so labeled rooted trees, and all valences greater than or equal to 2. Some operation associated to the tree. So just as an example, if the tree is this tree here, 1, 3, 2, 4, then the corresponding operation I get is just, so what do? I put, I put a mu on every vertex and on every internal vertex. I put an eta on every internal edge. And I put a, so here's the leaves. I put an iota on all the leaves, and I put a p on the root. Right, so the inputs all are in M. I apply iota to put them into L, and then I do this expression in L, and then at the end I have to project back into M. So, and this tree there stands for the obvious. I shouldn't have erased this. Right, this actually defines this new T from this particular example there. So P of mu 2 of eta mu 2 of iota x1, iota x3. So the leaves tell me where I plug in, which of the variables I plug in. But I have to put the sign so that when I add over all, sum over all the trees, that I get something anti-symmetric. This by itself won't be. Okay. So just as an example, new 2. What is new 2? Well, I'm supposed to sum over all trees with 2 leaves, and so there's only one such tree. That's the only such tree. And so iota, iota, mu, and p. Right, so so that's just the directly induced mu 2 from mu 2. So n equals 3 is more interesting. So nu 3. Because there we have 3 leaves, and there's this tree. And then there's you have the other ways of putting the three, labeling the three leaves there. So this is a sum of 4 terms. Say again?
I can take
Theta
to be D, right? You can do that.
I can take, no, Eta is 0.
Okay.
If you want to get back L itself.
My question was, is there any way to somehow iterate the separation? And if you do, you can always get the same thing, but.
Now, did you say something? You want M to be equal to L?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want, then you just take Eta to be 0. So if eta is equal to 0, pi is the identity. So pi is the identity means m is equal to L. And then then you're putting 0 on all the edges here. Right? So then you only get the ones without any internal edges. So you only get these guys, right? Which is what you should. Okay, so now I'm going to prove. Okay, so for n equals 1, I already said that. So for n equals 2, n equals 2, so it got erased, but what I have to prove is that D of this tree is 0. That was the first L infinity, n equals 2 L infinity relation. Okay, so what does that mean? So this is equivalent to, so I have to use a definition of nu. So nu is essentially looks like mu except for with all these extra decorations. So, So I have to put. Well, first of all, there's three terms, right? There's the d here. There's the d there, and d down there. This is supposed to be equal to 0. And now I'm going to use the definition of nu, so that just means put a mu, but then put an iota and an iota and a p. I messed up here. There should have been dm. Right, I'm using the I'm on m, so I should be using dm. And dm, remember, dm was really iota dt. Right, so iota dt. Sorry for doing this all with erasing. And p iota I'm going to replace with pi. Well, maybe I shouldn't do the whole thing by erasing. The point is that, that pi commutes with d, and d and iota. So pi commutes with d, and then it gets absorbed by the p, or pi commutes with d, and it gets absorbed by the iota. So this is the same as, so in other words, the p's go away, the pi's go away, so I'm left with iota d mu iota p iota, the pi went away, d mu p, and here I have iota iota mu d p. And now I'm going to circle these three things. So what I've circled here in orange is d of this guy here, of mu 2. And so by the L infinity relation for mu 2, this is 0. Right? By right, so just applying this L infinity relation to what happens inside the orange circle and prove that this is 0, because I'm just, you know, plugging in some special values into this relation, which is 0, and then applying, once it's 0, then applying p, it's still 0. So this is 0. Another case, n equals 3. So this time the claim is that d of this guy here, where I put a nu there, is equal to, well, this relation vanished off the blackboard already. There are three terms over here, depending on how I label these trees, right? So that's the claim, and this is, I have to put nu's everywhere. And this is, of course, really dm. Okay, so now, now I'm going to use the definition of nu. So this is nu is defined in terms of mu, right? I just have to put etas, iotas, and p. That was the first term, but then there's more terms. So there's d of these kind of terms. So I have to make bigger. The leaves are labeled by iota, and I put an eta on the internal edge. So this is really, well, okay. This is one labeling, 1, 2, 3, and then there's some other, two more of these with other labeling of the trees, right? I just write plus, you can think of that as cyclic rotating these guys, which is the same thing. So over here, so what happens here? So again, I have to put in the definition of a new. In this case, each of these guys was just replaced by new. And then with the iotas and the p's around. But p composed iota is pi. There's pi. What happens next? So then, so if I look at D of this guy, the same thing happens that happened over here, that when I apply D to this tree, the D's move all the way from the outside to the inside, so that they're just around the vertex instead of outside the tree. So I can rewrite this guy here as I'm going to hope this is clear what I mean. So I put the circle here mu, and I just apply D to this thing in here. So instead of applying D to the whole graph, whole tree, just applying it to this local part around this vertex here. And so that means this is a sum of four things where the D's are inside here, instead of this sum of four things where the D's are on the outside. Then I have D of this guy there, so I think that I just write like that for now, plus some two more of these trees here. I mean, the mu's and the iotas and the p's go without saying. It's the eta, which is maybe not completely without saying. So now I want to use the fact that pi is equal to 1 minus the commutator of d and eta, so that's 1 minus d eta minus eta d. So so this pi here I can replace by the linearity of all these operations, or the multilinearity, by a 1 minus d eta minus eta d. And then plus guys, this guy is three times, and these two guys are three times in reality. And then I bring these guys onto this other side here. So now I have this guy here, and then. You see, when I do the D of this tree here, I'm putting the D here and there and then there and then there. So I'm putting it here and here. And then from this tree here, I have the D also here. So if I do the sum of those three things, that's like a local D at this vertex here of this tree. And so there's the iotas. And there's the eta. And there's mu, iota, and p. And then there's a similar thing at this vertex here. So we're d here, there, and there, right? The there and there comes from here, and the third one is from there. And so then I have all these, each of these appears three times, and then I have a guy with a one there. Okay, and then this is the true, this is my claim, and now it's true because this is zero, and that's zero, because this is the same relation that I used here, that the d of that thing is zero, and this guy is also zero. So this is the relation L infinity for mu 2 that makes these two zero, and then so I can get rid of this, and then the claim is that this is equal to that. So maybe I should. So here's again. And so this is then what's left is by equal to each other. So this is equal to that. For the mu 3. Remember, this is the relation for that I know is, and I'm trying to prove it for nu, but I know it's true for mu. Right? So this is equal to these, the sum of those three things. So that's what's written here. It's again application of this mu 3 to what happens inside the orange circle. Right? Okay. So I'm trying to hope by explaining this, and I'm trying to understand what's going on. So then, the general case. this is a similar principle. Claim is that first of all, what is nu n? So nu n is the sum of all trees of valence n and are labeled. So I'm not going to write that all down, so it's clear. So there's some kind of tree here with a root coming out and a bunch of inputs coming in. And all the inputs they're of course labeled from, these leaves are labeled, which I'm leaving out the labels. So then there's iota on the inputs, p on the output, and on every vertex there's a mu, which goes without saying, and on all the internal edges there's an eta, so I'm just going to write the eta there like that. So this is the symbolic notation for this nu n. So the claim that I have to prove is that, well, up to the sign, that d nu n is equal to, right, this is, there it is, that's what I mean by d nu n is equal to that. So that's the sum over all, I wrote it down like this, so I'm going to write it down like this. Sum over L equals 2 to N minus 1 over all these shuffles, and then I have something like that. So sigma 1 through sigma L, and sigma L plus 1 through sigma N, and here it's nu. Okay, so this is equivalent to I'm going to use the definition of this new n like this here, right? So that's the sum of all trees with n leaves. Right, so that's the definition of new n, but now I'm applying d to it. So I'm have to put d on each of these on each of the leaves and on the root. But the d moves past the iota and the p, as I proved, you know, earlier on. So iota, then I have d, and then I have pi. The other ones just have iota. Well, I mean that's what happens when I apply dm to this thing. I get this kind of thing. So this is on. This is a sum over all e, which are external edges. So that's the left-hand side, and I want to prove that that is equal to the right-hand side. So sum over all l and sigma, and now I have to plug in the definition of nu here. So that's then the sum over. So I get a tree for this vertex and a tree for that vertex, so two trees. So T1 and T2. And T1 is labeled sigma 1 through sigma L, and T2 is labeled by the sigma L plus 1 through sigma N. And then so I have two trees. Here's T1 and there's T2. but when I stick them together, there is a p from the root of this tree and an iota from the leaf of this tree, and the p and the iota combine to pi. So there's a pi. Okay, so as I explained in this case there, the pi goes away. Pi commutes with d and gets absorbed by the iota. So this the left-hand side here is the same as the sum over all trees, labeled trees. And then and sum over all trees, so trees, and then sum over all e, which are external edges. And right, all the internal edges are labeled eta. So if this edge here is the external edge here, then that has a d on it. All the others just have an iota on it. So that's the left-hand side. And so the right-hand side, if you think about it, this is just the sum over all trees with n labels. And then and so inside T1, everything, all the edges are labeled with eta, and inside T2, they're also all labeled with eta. When I put them together, all the edges are labeled with eta, except for the one distinguished one, which is labeled by pi. So this is the sum over all the edges. These are internal edges. Mm. So I'm going to just draw this like this. So there's one distinguished edge, which is labeled pi. All the other edges are labeled eta. And of course, all the vertices are labeled mu. And then, of course, all the leaves are iota, and the root is p. So all the stuff that goes without saying, I'm not really writing. So, right, so that distinguished edge, that's E. So that's, that edge is E. Okay, so now this side, this thing over here. Okay, of course I'm going to use the relation that pi is 1 minus d eta minus eta d. So right, so the right-hand side here. Sum over all trees and an edge, an internal edge. This time the distinguished edge is labeled 1. So I have d eta, everything else is the same, and eta d. And so then I do a similar kind of thing as before. I look at now. So let me look at this stuff here and this stuff here. So the sum is over all the trees, and then here's the sum over all the external edges, and here over all the internal edges. And so here I have a d on each of the external edges. And here I have a d on this end of the edge and a d on the other end of the edge. So if you think about it, if I bring this stuff onto the other side, then on the left-hand side I get the sum over all these trees. And now I'm summing over all the internal vertex. So I'm going to draw this. So one of the vertices is now distinguished. So let's say this vertex is this. Here's the distinguished vertex. That has some inputs and some outputs. So up here is the rest of the tree, and down here is the rest of the tree. And so here all the edges are labeled eta, up there too, and then there's all the inputs and the root. So there's the distinguished vertex, and I hope it's clear what I mean. So this is that V. Of course, the V is labeled by mu, but I write D of this thing. So that means it's a linear combination where I put D on each of these edges coming from V. Right, so if for example, if V is right, I don't know. I think well. Okay. Right. I mean, whenever I have a vertex, well, each of the edges is going to occur as one of these distinguished edges here, and then I get a. There and so I don't know. So this is all this green stuff, and then on that is supposed to be equal to this stuff here. So so this is still the sum over the internal edges where this distinguished edge is 1 and the others are eta. And so this is true. So if I apply the L infinity relation to this mu here at this vertex V, so this has this many valence of V inputs, right? If I apply D to that, right, then so that thing says that D of this thing is equal to sum, right, over these things with a 1 there. Right, so applying this locally again, and this thing gets replaced by that. So what's going on here is that you have so if you have trees with a marked edge, you have a map to trees with a marked vertex, which given this by contrast the distinguished edge, you get a distinguished vertex. And so that's the relation between that graph, that tree, and that tree is by collapsing that marked guy. And so clear. Like, I mean, but for example, okay, the image of this map is, the image is that the marked vertex has valence greater than or equal to 3. If the marked vertex has valence 2, it doesn't appear as contraction of something like here. But then, right then on the left-hand side, you have this kind of picture, and so D of that is already 0. Right, so, but for the other ones, you know, it's not as equal to that. I mean, in some sense, if you have to argue that if you have a tree with a marked vertex, then the pre-image of this map here is in one-to-one correspondence with just all these guys here. I mean, okay. Well, so maybe I should write this down. So, marked vertex of valence 2 contributes 0 to the left-hand side there, and if a tree with a marked vertex is in the image of this map, then the pre-image is in one-to-one correspondence with trees with one edge. With the correct valence, and that's really because everything is labeled. That's why. Okay, so well, this is the kind of proof. Either you do it in detail or you don't do it at all. Otherwise, it makes no sense. I did it. Okay, so one of the most important examples, is that I explained last time that you can by splitting off the boundaries and the cycles, you can choose eta, such that pi is a projection onto the cohomology of L. So on the cohomology, the induced boundary is zero. So then we have a L infinity algebra with nu 1 equals 0. So D is equal to 0. So that's an L infinity algebra is called minimal. That's apparently Pankowitz's terminology or canonical. That's what Fukaya calls them. And in particular, if L is a differential graded Lie algebra, so you have only the first two operations, then H of L is a minimal L infinity algebra. Right, so then the first one isn't there, but all the higher ones are probably there. Okay, so now I've proved that this M is also an L infinity algebra. Now I have to explain in what sense it's isomorphic to L. Algebras. So what's the morphism? A morphism is a sequence of maps. So phi n or k. Again, one for each positive integer. Phi n goes from the exterior product of m, so has again phi n has n and n inputs as nu n has, and it goes over to L, and the degree is 1 minus n. So instead of 2 minus n, it's 1 minus n. Such that, and then you have to write down all these relations that are satisfied. So I'm just going to write the formulation in terms of trees. So for all n, we have the following sum. So what am I summing over on the left-hand side? So So here I'm first applying phi, and right, so so phi gets me from M to L, and then so I'm inputs are from M, I apply phi, I'm into L, and so then I can apply mu and get out an element of L. And so here I have a whole bunch of inputs, so not just two, but right, an arbitrary number. And here I also have an arbitrary number. So these are so trees of so again they're labeled so they're rooted trees labeled 1 through n, so up here there's somehow labels 1 through n distributed. So I don't know how to write this. This is not an official name. Let's call this height 2, so that there's exactly this mu, and then there's all these feet here, right? They don't go any further, any higher up of these trees. And but valence 1 is allowed, right? And all the other trees up there, I never allowed valence 1, but here I do. Of course, there's some signs which I'm ignoring. And then over here, so rooted trees. Again, labeled 1 through n. But there's only one internal edge. Right there, there's a whole bunch of them. So here's it. Just looks like this. So this time, I do nu first. So nu is the multiplication in M. So this, then I'm still in M, and then I apply phi to get me over into L. And okay. So also valence 1 allowed. But then so all isomorphism classes of labeled trees are being summed over. Just as a sanity check, let's compute the degrees of the result here. So so each phi has degree 1 minus, so if there's k1 inputs here, the degree is 1 minus k1, and here would be k2 inputs, plus kl maybe. That's the degree of these, and then the mu adds a 2 minus, minus l, if l is the number of these guys here. And over here, so nu has degree 2 minus k1, if there's k1, and then phi has 1 minus 1 minus, but if there's k2 inputs here, then there's an extra input here, so it's k2 plus 1. And so you see that both sides are equal to, so this is the sum of these k's is equal to n, which is the same as this, as k1 minus k2, and the rest is 2 on both. No, yeah, that's bad notation. So let's see. So what is this? So this is okay. So there's This 1 occurs L times, so that cancels that L. So I'm left with 2 minus sum of the ki is equal to 2 minus n1 minus n2. So 2 minus n is 2 minus n. So that's the way the degrees work out. So that's why the trees look different on these sides. If you try to do it any other way, it doesn't make sense even in terms of degrees. To explain why these kind of trees look different. But let's see what this means in the simple cases. So for n equals 1, so on the left-hand side I only have one tree, namely this one here. And so there I have phi and there's mu. And that's on the right-hand side, I also have only one tree. And so that's nu and phi. So this means that, right, phi, this is phi 1, and that's mu 1 is equal to phi 1 nu 1. So in other words, dl phi is equal to phi, what is it? Dm. If I just write phi for the first one, so this just means that phi, the phi 1, so phi equals phi 1, is a morphism of complexes, right, from n. What do we get for n equals 2? Already more interesting. Okay, so here on the left hand side, there is this tree here. And there is this tree here. Either the branching can happen here or the branching can happen up there, but there's only one way up to isomorphism to label these two trees because they're symmetric. And so this is equal to what can I do over here? So phi nu, or the branching can happen here, and then I have a nu there. This tree, again, has only one way to label it, but this one has two ways of labeling it. So this is, or I can put the nu over there, phi. Okay, so that's this equality. So let's rewrite this. So let's write mu, so mu 2 as bracket and nu 2 also as bracket. And as I did up there, just write phi for phi 1. And let's, phi 2 is also something with two entries, right? And so it's also some kind of bracket, but it has inputs from M and outputs in L. But again, I don't know. I want to write it as a bracket here. So then this is equivalent to the following. So phi of x, phi of y, so put in x and y for 1 and 2, I get this expression. Minus, so mu 1 is d, this p with two inputs is this curly bracket, so this is phi of bracket x y minus the curly bracket of dx and y, like this nu 1 is d, and minus, so now I'm actually putting the correct signs here, well, maybe not. let me just rewrite this. Phi of xy minus, so phi of bracket xy minus bracket of dx dy is equal to all the stuff involving the curly bracket, so d curly xy plus curly dxy plus minus 1 to the degree of x, x dy. So this is the correct formula. So phi of xy, so this, I have the sign wrong there, and phi of xy is a dx, no, so I had a minus, I just forgot. Okay, I guess now the signs are right. So on the left-hand side, we have the default for C to preserve brackets. Right? This is the difference of, right, if phi was going to be a homomorphism of Lie algebra, this would have to be zero. So this is the problem with that is equal to the problem of the curly bracket to be a D to be a derivation with the, so the default of D with respect to the curly bracket. And then, right, you know, you have all these very complicated higher things going on. But in particular, we can see the trivial consequence that if we have such a morphism, but you remember the cohomology is right, has an induced Lie bracket, making this a Lie algebra. Right, by the first phi commutes with D, right? So I get an induced map from phi on the cohomology, and then this preserves the Lie bracket. So morphism of graded Lie algebras. Because this expression here vanishes in cohomology, right? If you want to apply these two elements in cohomology, you're applying it to cycles, which means that these two terms are zero, and the result is in a coboundary, so it's also zero in cohomology. So, yeah. Well, I should remark that you can, these very complicated sums over trees, you can reformulate in a very simple, you know, in an equation involving only one or two symbols using the coalgebra approach. So let me just remark that. Recall. So that if I have an L infinity algebra L with these multiplications mu, so I had shifted L to the left by one, and then taken the symmetric algebra, but only the positive symmetric powers, not the zero symmetric power. Okay, that's that, and all these mu's conspired to define a co-derivation Q on this thing. So mu is yeah, so that was so the co-multiplication yeah. Like you have some expression symmetric expression, and then you have to take out all of them here and the rest of them over there and put a tensor in between, and you have to do that in all possible ways, and so that's a sum over shuffles. Yeah. Don't want to write down the formula again. Okay, so that was recall, and then there is a remark. I just erased what I probably shouldn't have erased. Okay, anyway. So that was the recall, so now it's the remark. Okay, so. So if we have all these phi n of degree 1 minus n, these just I can reinterpret these by shifting the whole thing. So these now have degree 0 maps, right? And so this one via this décalage isomorphism, which I had mentioned last time, is isomorphic canonically to the symmetric power of the shift by 1. So I guess these maps, let's call them Fn. And so, well, similarly to the fact that the mu n's correspond to q n's, which then define the capital Q, all these little f n's, the Fn define a morphism. Right, instead of a co-derivation, a morphism of co-algebras F, capital F. So the sum over all these guys, too. Right, this is degree 0. The co-derivation was degree 1. Okay, so I'm not going to write down the formula this time. Last time I wrote down the Q, I wrote down formulas for in terms of the QNs. So you can write down similar formulas for the F in terms of Fn, but it's not such a simple sum over shuffles, because if you remember what I erased on this blackboard, there was on the right-hand side something that looked like sum over trees like this. This is just a sum over shuffles, but on the left-hand side, there was something over with more complicated trees. So this also involves more complicated combinatorics, if you want to write it down, but so I'm not going to do it. Say again? Yeah. I'm not sure. Q? Q is a co-derivation of degree 1. I don't know. Well, yeah, I can compose morphism of co-algebras, yeah. The identity of M itself. Well, then, I mean, then the identity doesn't have any higher operations, so it looks very. So there's only F1 then. All the highers are zero. Anyway, so let me write down the fact that somehow I forgot the main point here is that L infinity relations are equivalent to the fact that Q squared is equal to zero, right? This is the quick formula. And so here the L infinity relations on phi n are equivalent to let me write it as a commutative diagram. Here's this F from M to L. So we just have to commute with these CODEF derivations. So here I call it Q, and here maybe the co-derivation is called R. So it just means that Q F is equal to F. So that contains all these relations, that sums over trees that I were on this board before. So now, of course, I somehow forgot to. Let's finish off today, I guess. So back to the transfer theorem. So second part. So we now so the notation is as before, right? So same. So we have L and mu, and then we had eta, and then we had pi, and then we had M, and we had made M into a L infinity algebra. So now the fact is that we can define an L infinity morphism from M, so C, or I say, follows. So phi n is going to be the sum. So this is the same trees as in the definition of new n. So in particular, the labels by 1 through n somehow, right, and the inputs had an iota on them. Okay, so an internal vertices of get a mu, just like before. So once I apply iota, I'm from M in L, and then I can apply the mu's. And then all the internal edges, so all internal edges put an eta on them. And the only difference, when I define new end, I use the exact same thing, except for instead of putting, there I put a P to get back from L into M, but now I don't want to get back into M. I want to stay in L, but I want to change the degree by one, so I just put eta instead. Everything else is the same. So, so the claim is that this is an L infinity morphism. Maybe surprising that this had once, I mean, it's almost the same definition, only instead of P put the eta down there also. So, and then, well, this. And proof, well, you can do yourself. It's a very, very similar kind of argument as the other one. The proof of that the new ends satisfy the L infinity relations. The phi ends, well, the definition is very similar, but it is a little bit more work because the L infinity relations for phi look different than the ones for new, right? Because there's this, you know, thing I erased, unfortunately, is a little bit more complicated. But the arguments are very similar, so let me just leave that as an exercise for you to do by yourself. And so maybe, so this is, yeah, I guess not all I wanted to do, but today. But okay, this is L infinity algorithm. Next week, I guess I have to come to the second subject of the lectures, namely the relation to deformation theory. And yeah, and maybe some, hopefully some applications. Okay, well, thanks. No, this is not what I'm saying. I just saw a preprint the other day from last year, I think, where someone claims that he can also construct this thing in the other direction. This part of the theorem is like really well known. I mean, so this is like sort of classical theory. But last year, there is a preprint name I forgot that also constructs one in the other direction, and in fact splits off, in some sense, splits off L into some kind of right. So where this one is minimal, and that one is sort of that is just the complex. It doesn't have any higher operations. So you can improve on this result. Yeah. I think the name was Schumacher. Okay. Oh, there was one. There was a question, actually. Yeah, I can't. I don't know if anyone else can. I mean, the thing is that, yeah, I couldn't find it in the literature. I mean, this is what any place I found the proof or a proof of this theorem, that always, I mean, the construction always goes with the sums over trees instead of some kind of writing it down in terms of the co-algebras. Yeah, it would be simpler, obviously, but yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thank you.